You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Friday. Another week of the NBA offseason is in the books, and today we debut a new series that'll carry us through the remaining months of summertime to the start of the 2019-2020 season right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all offseason and regular season long. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the offseason and what's to come next season, this is the place for you, all centered around your Sacramento Kings. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And I have no time to lose on today's episode here today, bringing back a familiar voice, a familiar personality, Jason Ross, the host of Locked On Kings before I took it over, is going to be joining me today to debut an all-new series that I'm doing just called, a loose title, the Wild West series. Essentially, what I'm going to be doing is bringing in a lot of different guests, both in studio and over the phone, and we're going to be going top to bottom through the Western Conference, the standings last year, and we're going to be looking at which teams are competitors, which teams are locks for playoff spots, which teams are fighting for playoff spots, and which teams are at the bottom that have no chance. In all, the idea of this is to find where the Kings could potentially fit into things, and we'll get a bunch of different opinions on if the Kings are a playoff team in this very talented, competitive, busy Western Conference or not, just to set our expectations and keep the conversation going heading into the start of next season. This will not be every single episode for the remainder of this summer. However, I'm shooting for at least a minimum of once a week doing another one of these Wild West series podcasts. I think you'll really enjoy it. Had a great conversation with Jason Ross as we went through the entire Western Conference. Let me know. I want your feedback. I also want you to be involved in this. Tell me what teams you think are playoff teams in the West, absolute locks, what teams you think are going to be fighting for a playoff spot, maybe the Kings' biggest competition for a playoff spot, and then which teams you feel very comfortable in saying they have no chance in the Western Conference. There aren't too many teams, honestly, that you can put in that no chance category, but Jason Ross and I selected a few here that you'll hear in just a second. Before we get to that, though, wanted to let you know that this podcast is sponsored by Postmates. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. For a limited time, Postmates is giving Locked On listeners $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use the code Locked On right now to get that $100. Again, $100 in free delivery credit via Postmates. Take advantage of that easy at-home delivery for whatever you need, groceries, food, supplies, they do it. Postmates delivers. It's an excellent service. Take advantage of that and that excellent offer. Again, use the code Locked On to get $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Now, my conversation with Jason Ross as we debut the Wild West series here on the Locked On Kings podcast. The Western Conference every single season just seems like it gets more and more difficult. With the amount of talent top to bottom that is in this conference, I am very excited for the start of the 2019-2020 season because even for the teams that are at the bottom of the West, I think they're going to pose interesting, fun, and exciting matchups for the Sacramento Kings, which why, and ultimately the goal for the Kings this year is to make the postseason, to make the playoffs and end a 13-plus year playoff drought, which is why I wanted to start this series to get us through the dog days of summer, where we're going to go through and I'm going to bring in a bunch of different guests here onto the Locked On Kings podcast, and we're going to go through the Western Conference and label every team in one of three categories, either a lock for a playoff spot in the West, fighting for a spot, or have no chance, or teams that have no chance. And to start this series off, I thought I'd bring in the former host of the Locked On Kings podcast, program director, and KHDK personality. Also, you can hear him on with the G-Man on Sacramento Kings radio broadcast, the one and only Jason Ross joining me. Jay Ross, thanks for helping me get the series off the ground. You're the pilot episode.
Well, thank you. Is it basketball season yet?
I hope so.
I'm anxious.
With the summer league just wrapped up. Free agency's already been done for a couple of weeks, even though it already feels like a couple of years. You and I are already counting down the days till preseason basketball.
I know. I think we probably say this the last couple of years, but I think I'm always excited for basketball, but this year, Matt, I feel like there's a lot of teams I can say they got a shot, legitimate shot of being title, having a parade. That's pretty cool. Last year, this time, it's Warriors and, we didn't know Cavs anymore because LeBron was moved, but it was Warriors. They're the favorite. They're the clear-cut favorite. Now it's, make a list of championship-type teams, maybe five or six. I think that's good.
And we're going to talk about the Warriors, of course, but if there's any question of what effect they have on the league, not just when they were at the top of the table, but now that they appear wounded, that they appear to have fallen off a little bit. Kevin Durant is no longer there. He's now in Brooklyn, even though he won't be playing at all this year because of his injury. Teams have been kind of waiting in the wings, and now they smell blood in the water. And there's so many teams, not just in the West, but in the NBA in general, that see that opening and are going for it. In my opinion, with the amount of stars that have balanced around the West and around the league in general, this is the most parity that the league has had in quite some time, which makes me even more excited for this season, which leads me into my first question for you, Jason Ross. In your opinion, is it playoffs or bust for the Kings this year? Do they have to make the playoffs based off of the expectations that the team, that Vlade has set on the table by firing head coach Dave Joerger and bringing in Luke Walton? If the Kings don't make the postseason this year, regardless of circumstances, is it a failure of a season?
I think that's a really tough one to answer, and I know you want I guess I would go no, but how does that look? I mean, by saying no and if they miss the playoffs, is that dead last and winning 18 games? Well, that's awful.
Yeah.
Is it no, they miss the playoffs and they win 48 games? I mean, that bar seems really high. I don't know that would be the number 9 seed, but I guess what to me would be the ultimate failure is really, really a poor performance, core young guys regressing, and you change coach like Luke Walton after that. That would be a colossal mess.
Yeah.
It's probably reality of somewhere in between where I see a team that's going to be better. I like the way it's constructed. I'm just afraid of the Western Conference again, which,
right.
I mean, I feel like we've said this for a couple years, but I legitimately think almost everybody's better, and they all can't make it. So I guess my short answer would be no, it wouldn't be a failure if they miss the playoffs, but I think it depends on how that looks. What did the road look like to missing the playoffs?
And it's a tough ultimatum to be put in, and I actually put that question out a couple of weeks ago on Twitter on a poll, and it was about 54 to 46% of fans saying that they do believe it's playoffs or bust, but I understand that's building off of the excitement of a 39-win season with a young core, but the fact that that core is so young is why I lean towards the same side that you two, that it isn't necessarily playoffs or bust, because you're not really racing the clock by any means. You have contractual control over the majority of your core. The one piece that was kind of up in the air was Harrison Barnes that you now brought back. You're expected to have an extension coming soon for Buddy Hield. I expect Bogdan Bogdanovic potentially in the wings as well. De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles. We expect the Kings to retain them and have them around for a good period of time. Plus, implementing a new head coach means there's going to be some time, some adjustment, some getting used to things. The Western Conference, like you said, is so difficult. Let's put it this way. I expect, or I think the Kings will make the playoffs this year.
Okay.
I'm hoping they will make the playoffs this
right.
year. But if they don't, unless it's based off of the factors that you listed, like a colossal failure and a collapse and something along that nature, I'm not willing to call it a failure of a year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's the drastic win to a complete blemish. Like last year, by definition, they were in the playoff race. Really pretty far into it, and then by the end you go, they were kind of far away from making it. But we were all thinking, I don't know, it was probably mid to late March. I actually thought they were going to make it. And then a few things started to happen. And other teams, like the Spurs, got crazy hot. And it was probably a number the Kings weren't going to get to. They should have won more than 39. But, okay, let's say they got to 43. They're still short. We've all been happy about a winning season, but they would have been short. So they built some expectations. I think they answered the most important questions last year. Do they have young pieces they can build around? I think that answer is yes.
Yeah.
And if all those pieces grow, they're going in the right direction. I want to see them in the playoffs. We all want to see them in the playoffs. But I think it's going to depend on how that looks. Like if it's, like I said, a 46, 47, 48 win season and that's out, That'd be painful, but I don't think anybody goes, they failed.
Yeah.
You keep the coach, you keep the young pieces, you tinker, hope others fall down, and then you go, all right, I would almost say like the next year would have to be. But if it's 22 wins and it's, oh, man, where are they going? That would feel different than the other example.
Well, the exciting reality is, Jason, that we're going into a season, really maybe for the first time since 2006, that we've felt the Kings have a legitimate chance of making it. Now, I know some might argue a couple of DeMarcus Cousins years, maybe an eighth seed was possible, but this group, this unit, the way they played last year, the additions that they made, strengthening their depth overall in free agency, it feels like this is the best chance that they have to make the playoffs since last they were in 2006. So let's talk about this potential road to the playoffs. And instead of just talking about specifically what teams the Kings will be battling with and that's it, I thought we'd go through bottom to top last year's standings, look at each team, the additions that they've made to this point. There's going to be an asterisk. If you're listening to this podcast a week before the season starts, there's a good chance that some of these teams that we're talking about now are going to look different than the way they do today. So of course, take that with a grain of salt. But we'll start with the bottom team, and we'll start with a team in the Phoenix Suns, and I'm very interested in this team, J. Ross. Their biggest hole last year was point guard. They brought in Ricky Rubio, not the most exciting piece on the planet, but someone that could potentially fit well alongside Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, who I thought was crucially overshadowed with the fact that the Phoenix Suns were not very good last year. I think the Phoenix Suns could be better than a lot of teams think. However, I have them in my no chance.
No chance for me as well. 19 wins to jump is significant. People have done it before. I don't see enough roster turnover. I'm sure Ayton, I agree with you, Matt. I think Ayton had a really good year that no one cared about. He was good. But would you say Booker's their best player?
Yes.
I agree. What's that mean? Right. I mean, I if he's your best player or not, he's good. But I don't love him. I just think he's... And it's a terrible analogy, but I think he's the guy that's on a bad team that's getting stats. And I don't think it's making people better.
Is he the Monte Ellis of the Suns?
Kind of. I mean, you know, when Kevin Martin was here as the best scorer, he was good.
Yeah.
But the Kings weren't really winning enough games to really be a playoff threat then, too. So just it's been a weird roster construction for a couple of years. Rubio as a true point will help, but he has some weaknesses, too. I like Monty Williams, but I just think most nights – they'll be dealing with a lack of talent against the opposing team, especially in the West. So I say no chance.
12, 13, and 14 all had the same records, but we'll start with what's here in front of me. A team that I'm really, really excited about, the Dallas Mavericks. Where do you fit them into those three categories in terms of playoff consideration?
This probably won't be popular, but I say no chance.
Wow.
Yeah. I like two players. Mm-hmm. Where's the depth? What's behind... And we still don't know what Porzingis is this year. I mean, I think he'll actually be good. I think Luka was really good. I think that roster has a lot of holes, too. And I think every season they think they're going to add things. And I guess I should give them credit for adding Porzingis. I mean, that is an all-star type player. But I just think they're, you know, when you talk about some of the teams that have top two type talented guys, that's great. But those two are really good foundation pieces. I just think they're missing more things. They don't have enough depth around that roster.
We'll segue that conversation into the next team up, the New Orleans Pelicans. We know all the additions that they've made. David Griffin has come in, traded Anthony Davis, got Zion Williamson, and just an incredible group of players have come in there. All of a sudden, there's a lot to be excited about. Are you more excited about New Orleans? Do you give them a better chance than you would the Dallas Mavericks with Luka and Zingas?
I do. I do, which is interesting because I think probably the top two players still might be on Dallas, but now I'm talking about depth. I like what they've done overall with their roster. Also, it's different. They were a playoff team 2 years ago. I know last year it had to be the strangest year for those guys going through what they did with Anthony Davis. I think Zion's going to be good. They did add those guys from the Lakers, even other subtle additions. And then some of the guys they kept, Jrue Holiday's a good player. Reddick coming in there, Favor. It just there's enough there where I think – I would put them in a group that's fighting for a chance.
So you put them in the first one to add into the chance category, and that's very interesting considering we were expecting. I mean, we were talking about that team as a seller in the Western Conference, mm-hmm. maybe towards the bottom. But this team, the next one up, is the team that I have in the bottom. Although, once again, I think they're going to be a fun matchup and very interesting to follow, and that's the Memphis Grizzlies. They just drafted and added Morant. They have Jaren Jackson Jr. In terms of matchups, I'm going to get excited for Kings and Grizzlies basketball when those two take the floor together or against each other this season. What category do you put them in?
To me, this year, I put them in the no chance category, but I agree with you that they've made a decision. They made a plan. They were building and hanging on to Zach Randolph, moved on from him, then to Conley and to Gasol. Well, they're both gone, and so now it's the overhaul. And so whatever they do this year, if they're in the fight for a spot category, that's a huge year for them. I don't think they will be, but I think they're okay with that. I mean, they're going to try to win as many games as they can, obviously, but if that's a 25-win team that shows some promise with the young guys, they'll be happy with their year. But I'm going to give them no chance.
This might be the most puzzling team in the Western Conference because depending upon who you ask, some people say they love them. Some people say they have no shot. They have certainly a significant amount of talent, and that's the Minnesota Timberwolves. To me, they're a no-chance team, and that's really hard to say. I love Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't expect Wiggins to be on that team by the end of the year, but Minnesota's just colossally underwhelming to me.
Perfect statement on them. I mean, I'm almost in that camp with Towns, and that's terrible. He's great. He is good.
Yeah.
And Wiggins, I'm not a fan of. They didn't add enough to me. And they were in the rumor mill. Oh, are they going to get D'Angelo Russell? Are they going to do this? I thought, well, if they do some of those things, I don't see it. Mm-hmm. I would agree. I just think they're underwhelming. I think there's some talent, but not enough depth. And even just kind of the way they handled Ryan Saunders, like, is that the coach? Is it not? Kind of temporary. I feel like they're in that no man's land where they're definitely not good enough to me to be in the eight.
Yeah.
They're not awful, but what are they doing? They're kind of treading water, so I would give them no chance.
We have a different perspective on it because we've covered DeMarcus Cousins and his time here in Sacramento, but it's starting to get that feeling, and I'm starting to hear from people outside of Minnesota looking at the Timberwolves situation, the talent that Karl-Anthony Towns has, and they're starting to compare it to, well, the Kings never won with DeMarcus Cousins. How much of that was DeMarcus Cousins' mm-hmm. fault? The Minnesota Timberwolves, they made it to the playoffs one year, but they've, for the most part, been a colossal disaster with Karl-Anthony Towns there. How much is that Karl-Anthony Towns' fault? How much do you think Minnesota is weighing Cat down, and how much do you think Cat is potentially part of the problem?
Yeah, that's a hard one to figure out. I mean, he's been a multi-time All-Star, but I don't think they make the playoffs 2 years ago without Jimmy Butler.
I agree.
I think they needed a veteran star to help get him over the top. Now, he's going to put up numbers. Again, kind of that numbers on a – I don't even know if bad team is fair, but he's got certain gifts. But I don't see a team with a bunch of guys that hate to lose. Mm-hmm. Like Wiggins plays, you go, man, he's so talented. I don't see a lot of emotion from him, from Towns, from some of the other guys. I don't know how to quantify who's the I just think it's maybe a roster problem of other talented guys around him. So I wouldn't put it on him, but I just don't see them being a factor.
The Lake Show is back, much to the chagrin of a lot of Sacramento Kings fans. But how back is it? We know they added Anthony Davis. They were going hard for Kawhi, didn't end up getting him, which was both a good and a bad thing for Kings fans. Good because you don't see another super talented player on the Lakers, and we all know how Kings fans feel about the Lakers. But bad in the sense that he ended up going to the Los Angeles Clippers, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. And I actually said on this podcast, controversial statement, but it really was true, that if I was a Kings fan, I would have preferred him to go to LA with the Lakers rather than go to LA with the Clippers, because that would mean one less team really to contend with. That being said, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, two incredibly good players on that Los Angeles Lakers group. Also, they retained Kyle Kuzma, did not move him in the trade with the New Orleans Pelicans. A lot of people have them as a lock, but I think there's a conversation to be had. What do you think?
I would agree with those people. I have them as a lock, an absolute lock. And you know what? I have them as the best team in the West.
Wow. Okay, yep. Jumping all the way up to number one.
Yeah,
is that the belief in LeBron or...
It's the totality of high-level talent, and I think a lot of people go, well, the thought was, if we backtrack to, man, if they get Kawhi, like, stop. Like, quit the season. This isn't fair.
It's over.
Well, so that's the entity we're talking about is what ends it all. Okay, so that means you already think highly of Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Well, they're there. I think people are underrating Kuzma a little bit, but he's not Kawhi Leonard. The one they're underrating is honestly DeMarcus. I mean, DeMarcus is a superstar. He hasn't been. I don't know that he will be, but let's say he's healthier and contributes to that roster to go with. Now, it also the thought was if they get Kawhi, they'll be great, but there's no depth. Actually, they did a good job with the depth.
I agree.
Keeping KCP. Jared Dudley's okay, but Danny Green, Rondo, Avery Bradley, JaVale McGee. I mean, they're deep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I picture nights where LeBron's resting. Maybe AD, he's injured. Okay, he misses 10 games. I just think they've got depth, and I think when you got LeBron and Anthony Davis in a playoff series, got to beat him four times. I think it's going to be really hard.
The reality, too, is even a bad DeMarcus Cousins, if he's playing 30 minutes a night, can still get you a double-double on a nightly basis.
And what's bad? Like, he's not bad, right?
Right.
You know, and maybe he's not the all-star, but what if he's close to that? Like, 2 years ago, if you said there's a team that has LeBron, Anthony Davis, and DeMarcus, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they're finals. They're winning the finals every year.
And 2 years ago, if you said that about Kawhi, well, what is Kawhi? He's coming off the – well, now he's great again. So I don't know what DeMarcus will be there, but I think he's a guy with who's trying to prove himself. He's on a good team. I think they'll be really good. I give him as a playoff lock.
Next in the standings is the Sacramento Kings. We'll save them for last with how they fit in after we go through all these teams. But how about the Los Angeles Clippers? They finished as an eighth seed. They went all in this summer on trying to get Kawhi Leonard. It got scary for a second. It looked like they weren't going to get him. But not only do they get him, they get Paul George as well. You have the Lakers as number one in the West. The Clippers are number one in the West for me. They're an absolute lock.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say fighting for a playoff spot because that means like they could miss. I can't imagine that. I'm not as high on them as everyone else, but I also don't want that to look like, what, you think they're going to struggle? No, they're going to be great.
Yeah.
But I just wonder about their overall pieces. I would watch the point guard position there. I think Avery Bradley, honestly, is a backup. I like him, but I think that's a position that can be exposed a little bit. I love Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. Paul George still needs to win more for me. I mean, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George sounds awesome, and it is. Well, Paul George and Russell Westbrook's really good, too. It didn't do enough for me. Paul George with other guys in Indiana was good, not enough. So I like their roster. If I have to pick one, I'm definitely picking playoff lock, though. They'll be in.
Now we are in the playoff teams. Well, the Clippers were the eighth and final seed there. We're going to the seventh seed, and we need to find minimum one team that made the playoffs last year that's going to drop out for the Lakers to replace, but we're also looking for a second team that the Kings could potentially replace, and let's go to the seventh seed, San Antonio Spurs, a team that, in my opinion, Jason, didn't really get much better, or any better, really. They brought Rudy Gay back, which I think is good, and they still have a lot of talent there, but the Kings, for the first time ever, swept them. So that's a team that I potentially see the Kings dethroning and taking a playoff spot away from. What do you think about the San Antonio Spurs? Where would you put them out of those three categories?
They feel right in the middle. They feel like fighting for a spot. They're good enough based on respect of how many years they've done it, who they have on the high-end level. So you're looking at DeRozan. You're still looking at Aldridge. Getting DeJounte Murray back should help. Damari Carroll, subtle move, but that should help.
Mm-hmm.
And Pop. I mean, it's just like last year. I'm like, they're – I remember when the Kings were a couple back from them. I'm like, that's the team to target. They've already beat them twice. I think they played them again. I'm like, that's the one. They're sliding, and then, boom, they win 10 in a row. I'm like, gosh darn it. And I still think they should have beat Denver in the first round. They had them. They had them in a good spot, but ultimately lost to them. So not a lock, not one to miss. I'll put them right in those groups fighting for a spot.
I pegged the Oklahoma City Thunder from the very beginning as the team that would drop out, even with Paul George and Russell Westbrook, because I didn't expect that roster to remain the same by the trade deadline. Well, they didn't even wait that long. It's not even close to the start of the regular season, and there's no more Westbrook and no more PG-13 in OKC. They do have Chris Paul there, Steven Adams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I actually really, really like, but they dropped quickly. To me, they have no chance.
Yeah, that's the one that's probably the closest between the two categories of no chance and fighting for a spot, but you want me to pick one. I'm going to go with no chance as well. I think if Paul stays with Adams, with Gallinari, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think they're going to be a pain, like just enough where you're like, man, and there's enough winners there and they've done enough winning. They'll probably be a team to fight for a spot, but I think they're going to move on from Paul. And so without knowing what that return would be, they have a plan now of draft picks for the next 10 years, basically. I'll give them no chance.
Defense wins championships. That might be an overused cliche, but I love what the Utah Jazz have done. Now adding Mike Conley to the mix, Rudy Gobert is clinically underrated, even though he continues to be one of the best defensive players, defensive player of the year, and just an absolute juggernaut down in the paint. And then, of course, the scoring machine that is Donovan Mitchell. I like the Utah Jazz finishing in the top three in the West. They're a lock for me.
I'm with you. Playoff lock. Like their roster. They've been consistently a playoff team. Great home court, tough physical identity, good coach. They know what they want to do. And I think also, you know, we've talked about Kings young guys getting better. I think Mitchell's ready to make another jump, too. Into a good player. Conley has been starving to get to an all-star game and have kind of bigger impact games. I like their roster a lot.
Russell Westbrook, James Harden reunited, but in Houston with the Rockets. Where do you have that team?
I think higher of the Rockets than most people. Playoff lock. I think before the trade, I was actually excited for them to get Jimmy Butler because I thought it would have been just a train wreck, but fun. Like a bunch of wins, three guys, three stars fighting each other, and Butler, Paul, and James Harden. They obviously didn't get Jimmy Butler. Then I'm like, James Harden and Chris Paul with Capella. I don't even remember the stats, Matt, but the three of them together win like 80% of the games.
Yeah.
I could picture this team doing the same with Russell Westbrook, winning a ton of regular season games. Heck, maybe even being something crazy like the one seed. I wouldn't pick him to win the title, but I think on a February Tuesday night, most teams aren't beating him because of their identity, their style, how James Harden is as difficult to guard as anybody. They might kick in 26 threes. You're losing by 15. Now you get to a postseason. You get four games, seven games with him. Matchups take Harden's strengths away. I just don't see a long postseason run, but I have them as a playoff lock.
Yeah, they're a lock for me as well. I didn't expect this team to win 53 games last year, but they did. The Portland Trail Blazers. Damian Lillard went to a whole new level in terms of just his career and his legacy with what he was able to do in the playoffs, but I have a hard time seeing them finishing top three again.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm wrong on this team the most, and I don't know why. I like Lillard, I like McCollum, and I'm assuming Nurkic will be back, but I thought that was a curious signing of Whiteside to go with him in a league that's not really going with as many bigs. But I'm going to put him in the fighting for a spot, even though I feel like I'm wrong for that. But I've been wrong on this team, but I'm going to put him in the fighting for a spot.
I'm always rooting for head coach Mike Malone. The Denver Nuggets were the team last year that the Kings are hoping to be this season, going all the way from the 8th seed to the number 2 seed. Nuggets, they're a lock for me.
Yeah, and I they probably are for me, too. Are they that team from last year or the team the year before, which was still really good and lost on game 82?
Yeah.
But, you know, what was the difference between them 54 wins and 48? You know, 48 is still a great season, and they're 8th, and you're really fighting for a playoff spot. I'll give them the lock. But I think that's an interesting test model to watch for Kings fans because they went all in on Jokic, and they went all in on Murray. They got to be right, those two, and which I think Jokic is great. Murray is good. So they spent a lot of money on those two guys, and that roster better be right going forward.
And finally, the one, the only Golden State Warriors. No KD, Clay out for most of the season. It's going to be Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Willie Cauley-Stein and D'Angelo Russell's team. How do you see them going? Are they a lock for the playoffs? I had Howard Beck on from Bleacher Report not too long ago, and he said he could see them actually falling out of the playoff picture. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he's not the only one. Bobby Marks has said the same. A few others have thought that. I was so impressed with how they played, and maybe I'm weighing too much into this in the finals, when they lost a lot of guys. And I think Clay's going to be back sooner than people's. I mean, well, they got to be careful with that. I mean, that's something where he could be ready almost by Christmas and then say, oh, we'll bring him back January or early February, but too many winners. It's a winning program. I guess I can't do lock, but fighting for a spot, but I really think they're going to get in.
Of course, we can both put the Sacramento Kings in the fighting for a playoff spot category. They're definitely not a lock, and I don't think it's fair to say they have no chance whatsoever. The question is, what is that, or who is that second team to potentially fall out? I'll ask you this, J. Ross. As of right now, as of today, do you think the Kings are going to be in that playoff picture when things are all said and done? And what team do you feel most confident with them replacing?
Well, I think we're both on the same page about OKC going out. To me, you need at least another team, at least one more, because I think the Lakers, as I said, I had them at the one seed. What other team might go out? I mean, I think you watch the Warriors. I think I still would watch Portland. I'd watch San Antonio. It's going to be hard. It's really going to be hard for the Kings because I think New Orleans should feel like the Kings. I mean, what did New Orleans win last year? 36?
Yeah, they finished 33-49.
Or 33. So, I mean, it wasn't like the Kings were dramatically better, but they were better. And the Kings actually had a whole lot of trouble with New Orleans. Couldn't beat them enough last year. So it's going to be really difficult for the Kings to get in there.
To me, it's going to be a four-team battle. Or actually, maybe a three-team
battle.
Because
you like Dallas, too.
I do. It's a three-team battle for the seventh and eighth seeds, in my opinion. Maybe a four-team. San Antonio, Sacramento, New Orleans, and Dallas. Yeah, those four teams, I think, are going to be battling for seeds 7 and 8, and honestly, it could be a 5-team. The fifth team, I might throw the Golden State Warriors in there as well. The bottom of the conference is going to be definitely up for grabs. Like I said, I think the Kings are going to make it, but it's certainly not going to be easy. But I'm just excited to see how in the world they'll be able to work themselves in, and what team is going to surprise, because there's always one, and what team that we think is going to be great now has that steady drop off.
And with everybody thinking this way, I wonder if, is, you know, when the schedule comes out, if we'll be looking at even games in like November, they might have a home and home with the Warriors, and we're going, man, these two are games are super important, or you know, a road trip that takes them to New Orleans and Dallas. It's like, yeah, if you can get the tiebreaker lead already in December, I think we'll be looking at the season that way, which honestly, for Kings fans, is fun.
Yeah, I don't want to speed up the season by any means. I'm going to enjoy every single game for what it is, and once the schedule comes out, we'll be dissecting everything. But from the trade deadline onward, or really from the All-Star game onward, I think it's going to be an incredible race in the Western Conference, and if the Kings are involved in that race, it's going to be can't miss basketball. Fans already watched through thick and thin no matter what, but I have a feeling we're going to get to a point next season that all eyes in Sacramento are going to be on what the Kings are doing and their chances to make it.
Then that's progress. Then that first question you asked, then I think it would be successful, right? Even if it at the end, like, we'd all be frustrated if they missed by a game, two games, three games, but you'd know that they're going the right direction. But it's just, I think we're all in that spot, man, where it's like, yeah, that's a good thought, but let's break through. Let's see this team.
Right.
Actually in the postseason.
Let's just get some playoff basketball in the Golden 1 Center. It's already been so loud for opening nights or for random games on Wednesday nights against so-so teams from the Eastern Conference. We want to see playoff basketball back in Sacramento, and I feel like we have a really, really good shot. Jay Ross, thank you so much for joining me here today for this this pilot episode of this walk through the Western Conference. I'll let you know what others think as I get more guests through here, and we'll definitely have to have Jay Ross back onto the podcast maybe sometime before opening night, but definitely early on into the Kings season. Thank you, Jason.
You got it. Thank you.
Always a privilege to have Jason Ross on, and I know many of you listened to the Locked On Kings podcast back when he was the host of it. Maybe you were with him from episode number 1. He certainly appreciates that. I appreciate that, and thank you to him for taking the time once again. Let me know what you think about this Wild West series, and again, be a part of it. Give me your locks, give me your fighters, and give me the teams that have no chance in the Western Conference, and share with me where you think the Kings will end up, what range you think the Kings will end up, and what teams in the West that were in the playoffs last year are most likely to fall out, and what spot you could see the Kings potentially stealing. There's going to have to probably be, like Jason and I discussed, two teams in the West that fall out for the Kings to make their way in. The Lakers are going to replace one, and hopefully the Kings will replace the other. So find that team. Let me know. Reach out to me anytime on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me at any time, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Again, thanks to Postmates for sponsoring this episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. And if you have a second to leave a review, wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it's the Himalaya app, on iTunes, the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, no matter what, if there's a section to leave a review and a rating for this podcast, if you could do that, that helps us out a ton. And don't be afraid to be involved in the conversation. More Wild West series episodes coming next week, plus hopefully some great interviews and more fantastic coverage. Stick with us. We will get you through the very dry, long months of the NBA offseason. We're counting down the days till the release of the NBA schedule and then training camp and, of course, the start of the season. I can't wait. I know many of you cannot as well. So let's get through it all together. We'll suffer together here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Thank you so much to everybody for listening here today. Talk to you next week. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. My name is Matt George. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.